Hello, everybody. My name is Clint Bitter. I'm the middle school pastor at Christ Community Church. And today I have the privilege of bringing you the Project 4-4 Daily Accelerator for April 9th. Today, you read sections from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 6 through 9, writings which are again almost identical to those found in 1 Chronicles, chapters 16 through 18. This section is rich with interesting stories, exceedingly difficult to pronounce names, and some powerful theology. So I'll do my best to hit the high points. Where we pick up is after a long Psalm of David, having just returned the Ark of the Covenant to its rightful place with the nation of Israel. The party has just ended, and they're coming down from the mountaintop experience and on with normal life. The first thing I'd like you to note in the reading from today is that David wasted no time in setting up the personnel and rhythm of regular worship. We have recorded here whom David appointed to the specific tasks of worship. And I love this picture of David's heart, that right after the momentous occasion, he's immediately about the regular rhythm of obedience and honoring God. David was diligent. He got right to setting up this regular rhythm of worship, and he was careful to appoint people to see that God's laws were properly being followed. It's easy for us to ride the spiritual highs that come in life and avoid the everyday things that can often feel mundane. But I'm encouraged as I read this today to follow David's example and embrace the marked change in life season. Enjoy the high, celebrate it fully, and then return to the faithful, regular rhythm of obedience in daily life with Christ. In today's reading, we also get this short exchange between David and Michal, a daughter of Saul who's married to David. She calls him out, utilizing her spiritual gift of sarcasm, we'll call it, for his actions in worship. And what we have is this beautiful, articulate response of a right heart in worship. He says, "It was before the Lord who chose me." And then he continues later, "I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes." I love this. David just got it. He did. And here again, we can learn from David's life. Proper worship, it's not about anyone, for anyone, or to anyone, but the Lord. Now, I presume that if we had witnessed the worship celebration on that day, we might have joined in the rebuke. But the truth is that God was honored because the heart was right. It was for the Lord. Another powerful story captured here is that of Mephibosheth. Yeah, say Mephibosheth 10 times. It turns your face to mush. But Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan. Now, Jonathan and David, as you likely know, were great friends, and Jonathan had died long before this story takes place. This is a beautiful story and a picture of unmerited favor. There's nothing that Mephibosheth had done to earn the goodness that David shows him. He's simply a recipient of blessing that's far bigger than him. Now, as followers of Jesus, we can certainly identify with the position that Mephibosheth finds himself in. We see here that David's character is truly touching, and it's powerful. We see God pouring his grace out through David's character. But consider this. The vow that David was upholding was an old one. There was almost no one around to hold him to it, and yet, how does this section begin? Two words that were really, really powerful, and you probably read over them, didn't think anything of it. David asked. That section begins, David asked. You see, no one brought it to his attention. No one chased him down to hold him to his oath. David asked. As striking an example of blessing that this story is, it's perhaps an even more striking story of loyalty. An illustration of honor, character, and moving integrity. David didn't have to keep his vow. No one would have held him to it. There were likely few that even knew about this promise that David had made. Yet David fulfills the promise, and he doesn't do so just casually, he fulfills the promise extravagantly, blessing generations to come. It's a great opportunity for you and I to check our integrity. Of what value is our word? What about when no one is looking, or when it doesn't make a whole lot of practical sense to hold fast to it? This reading challenges me to be a person of fierce loyalty, holding true to my word regardless what the tides of life may bring. And I hope it does you as well. Well, if that weren't enough to chew on for one day's reading, this section concludes with a significant exchange that happens between David and God through the prophet Nathan. David seems to be sitting around and thinking, and he concludes, "God needs a house. I have a house." And God responds to Nathan, to David through Nathan, and it seems that David's heart is in the right place, but God redirects him. You see, it was never God's idea to build a temple. God eventually allows a temple to be built, but nothing in the Old Testament suggests that it's God's plan or intention. This idea will come to bear more as we walk through the New Testament and the concept of the church. We'll find that that concept has more to do with tabernacle than it does with temple. Just something to keep in mind for later. But God's response to David, "I'll build you a house," is almost a little bit humorous. It sounds kind of like God is saying, "Really, David? You're going to build me a house." It's a tone that's quickly subdued, as God's message to David is, "You're not building me a house. I'm building you a legacy." That's my paraphrase. This is one of the major covenants recorded in Scripture. Right here, we see the establishment of what's often called the Davidic covenant. In this covenant, God promises that through David's son, a temple would be built. But beyond that, God promises that David's dynasty would last forever. And in time, that promise is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded that our God is good. And as believers, we have many promises from our Father to hold to. Our God is faithful and worthy of our trust. So what promises do you need to cling to today? Well, this is Clint Bitter, and I'm encouraging you to embrace the season of life that you're in, let your integrity stand firm, and cling to the promises of our faithful God.